The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Anyone with me? Like any of you guys? Like, yeah, that's I just needed an excuse, right? I'm like, I need, oh, that I might have a new fly rod, right? And I set my heart on it. And so from July until yesterday, I had my heart set on this new fly rod. And if you were in my house over the last several months at night, Lisa would go to bed and I would be on my computer looking at fly rods. I'm like, oh, I need a 6 foot. That'll be so much easier. And I need a one weight. It'll be so much lighter. I'll feel those fish. And I mean, I'm telling you, I'm like, this is going to be so awesome. I can feel those fish on it right now. It's going to be so, I need this fly. Oh, and I need a new reel to go with the new rod. And I need, you know, see where I'm going with this? And some of you are just judging me right now. Some of you, I feel the judgment, but I set my heart on this new fly rod. And remember, whatever has your heart has your attention, your energy, and eventually it will require your resources. Am I right? And so yesterday I went to Sportsman's Warehouse, and I got a new fly rod, guys. I'm so excited. And I can't, it's a 6 footer. It's going to be so much better up there. I'm going to catch 4 times the fish. And I came home. Isn't that pretty? It's yellow. I came home. Lisa had been at a baby shower. And I said, she's like, how did it go with the kids? I said, it went really good. I bought myself a present. She said, why am I not surprised, right? I'm like, so I went to the garage. I brought it in. I'm like, babe, look at that. Babe, look how that flexes. Babe, she's not even looking at me at this point. So you know what I did? I went, whap, and I spanked her. I'm like, look at my fly rod, okay? Because you know what? She got a new pan to cook in for Christmas. I'm like, what? A pan is a pan is a pan. And I think that's what she thought about my fly rod. Is a fly rod, is a fly rod, is a fly rod. No, it is not, okay? And I set my heart on this fly rod, right? And so yesterday, it required some resources for me to get my new fly rod. And here's the reality is you might not have set your heart on a fly rod, but all of us have set our heart on something before, right? I mean, you've set your heart on, like, man, I need that new pair of shoes, right? Like in the middle of worship at Harvest Rio, I mean, it was like spiritual, and I'm worshiping, right? And I'm like, and I looked over, and I noticed that Mitch got a new pair of shoes, and it just distracted me. Oh, just bam, like it ruined it for me. Right? Some of you had that moment. You've set your heart, right, on a pair of shoes or some clothes, or man, if I could just get that car, or if I could get that promotion, right, or if I could just be whatever it was. You've been there before. You have set your heart on something before. Am I right? And whatever has your passion will have your energy, your resources, and your attention. So I'm asking you this morning, where is your heart? Who or what has your attention? Where is your passion directed? And here's the reality. There's actually nothing wrong with me wanting a new fly rod. There's nothing wrong if you want something. There's not anything wrong with that. But here's the idea is whatever has the most passion will get the most attention, the most energy, the most of your resources. Am I right? And so I'm not getting on to you like I can't believe you want something. All right, we all have those things that we get caught up in the moment in the passion. I'm just asking you, going into 17, and I'm not condemning you for wanting something. I'm just saying, where's your heart? What has the affection of your heart this morning, going into 2017? What has your attention? And then just think with me, what could happen if we could all say together, oh, that I might know the Lord, right? Oh, like I was convicted because I wasn't staying up at night studying scripture. I was staying up at night looking at fly rods. See? Oh, that I might know the Lord. That's the passion. The second part I want to talk to you about is what I'm calling the press, all right? The press. The second line in this verse, he says, oh, that I might know the Lord. Then he says this, let us press on to know him. And so my follow-up question for you this morning is this, what are you going to press for this year? And I'll give you a clue, is whatever answer you had for the first one is going to help you answer the second one, because whatever has your passion will also get your press. It will get your attention. That's where you're going to spend more and more of yourself. That's what I'm calling the press. Let us press on to know him more, right? The last few months I'm saying, let me press on to get my fly rod, right? Let me press on, right? To whatever your press, what is your press going in to this year? But notice this, we looked at a two-letter word, O. Look at this two-letter word in this one. It says, let us press on, us. Guys, you don't have to do this alone. We get to press together. In fact, I'll tell you this morning, there is power in our collective press. Right? There's power. Like this morning, I was getting ready for church, and some of you are on the group text for prayer requests, and I'm getting ready for church, and all of a sudden, it's like, ding, 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 and all these like, pray, right? And a need came up, you know, we're going to pray for this, and I realized in that moment, there's power in the collective press. Right? Let me tell you something. If I'm headed to the hospital, I want as many ding, 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 dings. I want as many of you praying for. I want you pressing with me. Am I right? There's power in that collective press. And moving into this year, okay, we get to press together towards this end of knowing the Lord more. And this is why it's our anchor, is this year, collectively, we're going to face a lot of stuff. We're going to have a lot of victories. And guess what? We're going to keep pressing in those victories. We're going to have some disappointments. Guess what? We're going to press through those disappointments. We're going to have all kinds of things happen this year, but we are going to press together, right? This is why, you know, like some of you made some goals moving into the new year. Like, I'm going to work out and lose some weight, get in shape or whatever. And I don't know if you've learned this or not, but it's easier to press towards a goal like that with someone else, right? Someone who's going to call you when you don't show up at the gym at 5 a.m. Like, hey, bro, where are you at? You can't leave me here alone, right? Someone that's going to help you. Someone that's going to press with you. And guys, we get to do this together. We get to press together. But here's the other thing, okay? This is where the press requires action. Okay, so the passion was all about our heart, right? It's all about the heart. And can I tell you something? The world is full of people that they're oozing with passion, right? I mean, just passion upon passion upon passion. But the key is we've got to move from the heart to action. We've got to actually do something with the passion. And this is where the press happens. This is where the action, you know, comes into play. What are we going to do this year so that it's not just a heart thing, but it's a life thing? How are we going to press to know the Lord more this year? Well, let me help you. There's a few things we're going to do together to press to know the Lord. There's a group of pastors here in our city who this year got together and said, wouldn't it be wonderful if a whole bunch of churches could all organize somehow a way for us to pray together the same things for our city and our state and our nation. And so we're going to be participating this year in something it's just called New Mexico Praise. And here's how it works, is churches adopt a day and then they sign up and they say, you know, individuals from that church sign up to pray throughout that day. And then all across the nation or the state, all of these churches cover every day and we're all praying the same prayers. Doesn't that sound cool? And so Harvest, we signed up for the 30th day of every month. And you'll get more info. We'll send it out. And there's going to be an online sign up. So the 30th of every month. So we get a bye month in February, by the way. Okay, February. Some of you are like, why? You'll figure it out in 2 weeks, all right? So 30th of every month, and we're going to adopt from noon to midnight. So what'll happen, there'll be an online sign up where I'm asking you, take a 30-minute window on the 30th, somewhere between noon and midnight, and then we'll send out these prayer focuses, and we're just going to agree. And here's what's cool, because I'm telling you, there's power in the collective press, right? So part one of that is that we get to do this together. We, right here in this room and on our campuses, we get to press together. But now, through New Mexico Praise, now you're part of something much bigger. Now you're joining hundreds of individuals all across our city and all across our state who are all praying the same prayers day in, day out, month in, month out. And I cannot wait to see what God does as we press towards this end. So you'll hear some more about that. Here's another thing. Here's how you can press this year. You're 8 days into the year. So if you haven't done this yet, you can still catch up. But I would encourage you to find a way to make a plan to read through the Bible from cover to cover in this calendar year. Okay? So I want you to, and there's some great resources. I use the YouVersion app on my phone. It's a free app, and you can scroll through. And there's lots of plans. You can pick a plan. But listen to me. I'm encouraging you to read your Bible this year from Genesis to Revelation. See, here's the reality is if we don't have a plan, we will naturally gravitate back to the verses that we like. Am I right? You all have favorite verses, they're good verses, but when you don't know what to do, where to go, you naturally go back to those verses again and again. You need a well-balanced diet when it comes to your spiritual food. That's why I'm telling you, get a plan and just go all the way through it, right? Many of you know this about me. It's hard for me to have a well-balanced diet, like in the natural, in food, right? Like last night, we were getting ready to eat at our house, and it was just kind of like leftover night. You know, anyone ever do that? Like, oh, we got this and this and this. What are we going to do, right? And I realized I'd bought some steaks earlier in the week, and I realized I had one fat ribeye left. And I told Lisa, I said, I'm going to cook the steak. She said, what do you want with it? I said, nothing. Nothing. And so I grilled this steak, and I'm such a kid, and I had this plate and a steak, and I was so happy. I mean, nothing else. Like, I don't need anything else. If you know me, my strategy is that piece of meat, when it was walking around alive, ate some green stuff. And so I get it via whatever it ate, right? And I know it's horrible, but I was so happy. I mean, I just eaten that steak. I cooked it perfect. I could not have got it better. It was all, I'm just eating this steak, right? And my kids, I look around, they're all eating a well-balanced diet, right? They got some meat and some vegetables. They're eating. I'm like, man, you know what? You know the problem? Can I tell you the problem? My mom did not make me eat my vegetables. I'm telling you the truth. Am I telling the truth? My mom did not make me eat my vegetables. And as a result, here I am as an adult in body, right? But a kid in the way I eat. And some of you spiritually, that describes you. Is you've grown up in church, you've had plenty of opportunity to eat a well-balanced diet, but you just keep going back to the thing that you like, to the thing that you eat, then you just keep going back to it, and you've got all these areas of your life that have never fully developed because you just keep going back to that one verse, that one chapter, that one story, that one book. And so I'm asking you, okay, and I'll try to do better in my diet if you'll try to do better in yours. How's that sound? Okay, I won't. I tried. I gave them a chance, Lisa. No one's with me, so there you go. I'm steak for after Dion's, all right? Here's some other ways, okay? Here's how we're going to press, okay? I'm asking you to join me on a 21-day fast to kick off this new year. Let me tell you how it's going to work, okay? So first of all, Our hospitality team has some handouts that while I'm talking about this, they're gonna get these to you, okay? Don't read this right now, okay? And I can see you if you are. So don't just fold it up, put in your Bible, put in your purse. What they're handing you is some guidelines for fasting. This is very practical. This is like different types of fast and tips and guidelines. You know, some of you, you're not familiar with this, this will help you with how, you know, how to fast, how to choose a fast, you know, whatnot. So here's what I'm asking you to do. We're going to start a 21-day fast this coming Wednesday. Everyone say Wednesday. Okay, got to make sure you're still listening because now there's people moving around. We're going to start a 21-day fast on Wednesday, and I'm not going to prescribe for you what or how to fast because that won't work. What I'm asking you to do is over the next 2 days, between now and Wednesday, to pray and say, God, what do you want me to fast so that I can press to know you more? I want to start this year in the right direction. I want to press in these first few days of the year so that we can move towards this, okay? And then whatever God speaks to you and whatever, however you're going to do it, we're going to all be doing it in different ways. I started praying about mine. I've got a little list on my phone as God's speaking to me about what I'm going to do this year, okay? So let me help you, okay? We could do a whole message just on fasting, but let me help you with this in case I think this will show you why this is so important and how it will help us in the press. There's a story in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, and it starts like this. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus, and he knelt before him, and he says to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son. His son, we find out, has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. And watch this. The guy says to Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And this is interesting to me because the disciples, first of all, they lived day in, day out with Jesus. They were exposed to his ministry. They saw how he did it. They were around it, right? And if you read the Gospels, the disciples were used quite often in miracles of their own. God through them. They often saw miracles. But here's an instance where the man says, hey, I brought my son to the disciples, and they couldn't help him. So now I'm coming to the boss, right? So Jesus, I need you to help me with my son. And Jesus responds, he says, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. And I'm going to draw your attention to those two words. I'm going to come back to them. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. Jesus says, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy, and he was healed at that very moment. Now let me go back. He used two words there, unbelieving and perverse. Unbelieving simply means not connected to God, right? Belief level or faith level is low, right? So he says, unbelieving generation, you're not connected to God, right? And then he uses this word, perverse. Unbelieving and perverse. And perverse simply means this: you are too connected to the world. All right, so he points out here, you're not connected to God, and you're too connected to the world. And then he continues in this story. He says the disciples came to him, to Jesus in private, and they asked, why couldn't we drive out the demon? And he replied, he said, you have so little faith. And then you've used this verse before. He says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And I love that verse, and a lot of you do too, right? But think about this. Think about what he's saying. He says, you don't have enough faith. And he follows it by telling them, all that's required is faith like a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but it's the smallest seed available. It's teeny tiny. I mean, so I'm looking at this, and I'm like, wait a second. They didn't even have a mustard seed worth of faith, right? Like, that's not a lot. Like, he didn't say you got to have a peanut's worth of faith, right? You don't have to have a watermelon's worth of faith. He said a mustard seed full of faith. And then he gives them the clue, and he says this. He says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. Let me help you with this. What is prayer? Prayer connects us to God. Remember what he said? You are unbelieving, right? An unbelieving generation, a generation that's not connected to God. So the remedy to that is prayer, because prayer connects us to God. Friends, do not overcomplicate your prayer life. Prayer is simply talking to God. It's just connecting with him. When you talk to another human being, you connect with them. And that's the same way with prayer. As you're talking with God, you connect. Have you ever been with someone and you're like meeting them for lunch or whatever, and you're just talking, you're having a good time, and you're like, your food comes, you're like, hey, would you pray over our meal? And suddenly, like, everything changes, right? And they're like, oh, Father God, I commit thine food unto thine will. Nourish our bodies for your work. And like, what? Like, 2 seconds ago, we were having a normal conversation. Suddenly, you speak King James. Suddenly, you're friend, listen, just connect to God. Just talk to him. Like, he already knows what's happening up there anyway, right? Just talk to him. Just connect with him. And he says this, He says, some of this stuff does not happen except by prayer, connect to God, and fasting. You know what fasting does? It disconnects us from the world. That's what it does. That's why it's so hard for you. Can I tell you something? I do not enjoy fasting. Anyone with me? Come on, all you spiritual people. It's okay. Fasting's not fun. I'm not asking you to do something fun for 21 days. It's not fun. You are disconnecting from things that make you feel good. That's part of it. That's what fasting does. It disconnects you from the world. And I know some of you are like, I don't have to fast. You know, I don't have to give up food to disconnect from the world. Food isn't worldly, Pastor. Listen to you. I'm just telling you, there is a connection between you giving something up and setting your heart towards the Lord for that time that allows you to disconnect from the things of this world. Now, there's different ways to fast. This is why I'm not telling you what to fast or how to fast. One of my wife's fasts one of her favorite fasts, I'll just speak for her for a moment. One of her favorite fasts is to fast social media. She'll typically do it one or two times a year. And it's amazing, like just watching her fast that, right? Because I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but there are days, right? Facebook or any of those, they're not evil, okay? They're good tools, all right? I like knowing what you had for lunch and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's good, okay? But there are days where I'm like scrolling through my Facebook and I just get depressed. I'm like, oh my God, look what's happening. Oh, she's sick, and oh, he did. Oh, my life sinks. You know, just suddenly it just changed, right? Anyone? So this is the disconnect from the world, right? I'm not telling you to fast Facebook. I'm saying, whatever God puts in your heart to disconnect, to help you to disconnect from the world, okay? Not even from sin, just from the things of the world, right? That's one of the reasons that food does it so stinking well. I don't know if you notice this or not, but most of us have to eat several times a day. Anyone with me? You got to eat. So what this does is several times a day, it forces you to just pause and to look towards the Lord, look to the heavens and direct some energy that way. Remember, where's your heart? Who's got your energy? Who's got your attention? So if that's what fasting does, is it disconnects us from the world. And so that's one of the things we're going to do during this 21 days. This is how we're going to press. So let me help you. One other thing we're going to do during the fast is you'll see this on our social media. So if you're fasting social media, I'm sorry. You'll see this on our Facebook. I just realized that. You'll see it on our website. And I'll have hard copies for all of you spiritual people who are fasting Facebook as well. But what we're going to do is we're going to give you a prayer focus. That's funny. We're going to give you a prayer focus for each day of the fast. Okay. So again, this is the let us press, is that we're all going to be praying some similar prayers over these 21 days. And you'll see in there, there's a progression in the prayer calendar. And we start out praying over ourselves and we pray for our city and we pray. You'll see. So I'm going to help you with that. So it's going to give us some focus points. Okay. So we talked about our passion, we talked about the press. So here's the good news, is that when we press, there is also a promise. This is the third part of the verse, there's a promise. He says, oh, that we might know the Lord, let's press to know him more. And then he says this, he will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn. That's the promise. And I love this illustration. I want you to think about it this morning. None of you woke up this morning, you're laid in bed and you're thinking about what a great Sunday it is and how you can't wait to get to church, and you're laying there and none of you in that moment worried whether or not the sun was going to come up. Am I right? None of you, right? No one worried, oh man, I'm up. I wonder if the sun's going to come up, right? In fact, I did the math for me, okay? And in my lifetime, today was the 13,000th, 803rd time that the sun has come up, right? I mean, it's just amazing. It just happens every day. I mean, just boop, there it is. There's the sun. Like, it's amazing, right? Some of you haven't gotten up that many times, right? But the sun just keeps popping up, right? And I love this about the promise, because it gives us an assurance, right? He will respond as surely as the arrival of the dawn. I love what Gerald said last week in his 6-minute sermon. He said, it's the memories of God's faithfulness that give us confidence for the future, right? It's those memories of, man, God did this, and he showed up, and he provided, and he healed. And what I'm telling you this morning is the sun keeps coming up. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. And as we press this year, this is the promise, is God's going to keep showing up. He's going to respond. He's going to respond as you read his word. He's going to respond as you set time aside to pray. He's going to respond as you do the hard thing and you disconnect from the world through fasting. He is going to respond. There's a verse in 2 Timothy. I love this verse because it shows us God's faithfulness. If I could have the worship join me. 2 Timothy 2 says this. It says, if we are faithless, in other words, if we are without faith, right? If we are without faith, it says this about God. It says, he will remain faithful. Isn't that great news? Isn't that great news? You might have missed that verse. It says, when we are faithless, he is faithful. You see, we try to be faithful. God doesn't have to try. He is faithful. He will respond as surely as the arrival of the dawn. So my last question, I've asked you several this morning. I asked you, where is your heart? I've asked you, what is going to get your press? And here's my final question this morning is, what if we spent 2017 pressing to know God more intimately? What if we did that, church? This is our anchor, right? We're going to keep coming back to it. We're going to keep coming back to it. We're going to keep coming back to it. What if we just, what if our passion this year was, oh, that we might know the Lord, right? What if that was our press this year, to just know him more? What if that was our press this year? This morning I got up. It was really cold. It was like 12 degrees. It was cold. That's cold for me. Anyway, some of you laugh. It's cold. It's cold. And I was like, man, My day is busy. If I don't get out and move a little bit and go for a run, it's not going to happen today. So I bundled up. And Lisa was like, it's cold. What are you doing? I'm like, I got to go run. So I went out and I just put Pandora worship music on. I'm trying to get my heart right. I'm trying to press, honestly. And this song came on that we ended up singing this morning. I had no idea it was on the list. I hadn't heard it for a long time. We sang it this morning, this song that Gerald's playing, Here's My Heart, Lord. It was the last song as I was kind of rounding the corner coming to the house. You know, I sensed the Lord asking me in that moment, where's your heart, Pastor? Where's your heart, son? What are you pressing for, right? Are you going to press for me like you pressed for that silly little fly rod, right? What's your press going to be this year? And I felt it. I felt some conviction. Like, are you really going to ask your church to press with you? Where's your press, Pastor? Where's your heart, right? And I just had to have a little prayer moment right there in 12-degree weather on the side of my house where I said, Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. Speak to me, God. Help me. Help me to make adjustments going into this year. Help me to weed stuff out that doesn't need to be there. Help me to press for the right things this year. And I come in from Rio this morning. I come during the last song. And as I'm coming down the side aisle here, you guys had your hands in the air and you were singing, Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. And that's how we're going to close this morning. In fact, I'm going to have you do something first. Because we're about to enter a relatively intense season. This is your warning, is when we set time aside to pray and fast, to connect and to disconnect, the enemy doesn't like it, okay? he's going to come after you. He's going to come after us. That's why I'm saying it's a little bit of an intense 21 days that we're about to enter, okay? So here's what I want us to do is I'm going to ask you to just take a moment and think. What are you hoping will happen in your life, in your family, in our church, in our city, these 21 days and in this year? Like set some goals, okay? Not like New Year's resolutions, not like, you know, get fit or, you know, whatever. Like what are you hoping spiritually? What's going to happen? And as I prepared this week, I was reading that passage where Jesus said, some things only happen through prayer and fasting. And my spirit was just stirred in that moment. Because some of you have an area that you've been praying and hoping for breakthrough. I mean, you have just been believing that a relationship would be restored. You've been believing that your marriage would be restored. You've been believing that, you've been believing that. And I just sensed when I read that this week, I sensed the Holy Spirit saying, it's going to happen in this season. It's going to happen as you fast and pray. It's going to happen as you press. It's going to happen. I'm going to give you some breakthrough in this season. And so I want you to get it in your mind. What's the goal? What's the target that we're putting on the wall for you, for your family, for our church, and for our city? What are we pressing for in this season? As we say to the Lord on January 8th, 2017, oh, that I might know you more. Oh, come on, God. Oh, that I might know you. Let us press to know him more. Let us press to know him more. What could happen, friends, if we did this together? We just pressed, right? You know what I've noticed in my marriage is there are things that we are pressing towards, and I get tired of pressing for them. But when I get tired, Lisa's like, no, come on, let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing the right thing, right? And there's times where she runs out of energy, and then I'm like, come on, let's keep. And guess what? We got a whole bunch of friends that we're going to press together to know the Lord more. Some of you getting some goals in your mind? Are you getting some things? The Holy Spirit putting something? So do this with me. Let's just stand right where you're at. I'm going to ask Gerald to lead us for just a moment. We're going to turn this song into a prayer, okay? Into a prayer. We're going to just say, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Speak. Speak truth to me. Here's my heart. And I sensed something. I sensed something at the end of worship, but I didn't feel like it was the right time. But the second part of that song, he says, here's my life, Lord. And I just really sense that there's someone or several someones here this morning that you need to surrender your life to the Lord. Maybe for the first time or maybe again, right? And this is your chance. This is your chance. There's no hocus pocus to it. You just surrender your heart. You just give it over. You say, God, if you'll take this broken mess of my life, I'll give it to you. And guess what? He will respond as surely as the arrival of the dawn. Isn't that good news? I mean, he'll respond. He's going to respond in these next few moments as we make this our prayer. And he say, here's my heart. Here's my life. Will you join me this morning? Let's make this a prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.
Yes. Come on, give it to him this morning. Surrender. You can't do it on your own anyway. Just give it to him. Surrender your heart this morning.